friendo, Steve here.
Matt Larson.
Welcome to Going Into 2015 in Raw. It's our awards,
correct. Right? I guess you could call them that. Our year in review.
Our year in review. Wait, they're not really awards. We didn't make awards.
No, we have
our friendo awards coming up, or just happened. When are the friendo awards in comparison to when this is going up?
This will go up after.
Okay, so check out the Friend Awards if you want to see us give out awards, which I think at this point are just going to be pieces of paper. I think I might design like a nice piece of paper.
You should do, like a certificate of accomplishment.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we have a lot to talk about in 2015. A lot of shit, lots of stuff happened in the world of wrestling, and we were there for most of it to cover it.
I added a category. That's, you know.
You added a category just now?
Yeah.
Here we go. Favorite moment of the year.
Just like a little personal thing that we could say what each of us, our favorite moment.
All right.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's start from the beginning.
We are. All right. Well, you decided. See, this is. I'm going by your show notes. You decided the categories.
Well, no. We discussed most of these categories when we drove down to L.A. a couple weeks back.
Right. In between doing a cappella mashups of wrestling themes.
And listening to Stone Cold Podcast.
hey, Larson, I'm cold.
That's great, but I'm cold.
No, then you got to say, you know what? I'm rich.
You know what? I'm rich.
How does that feel?
Feels great.
That's good for you, but I'm cold.
Is that your favorite wrestling moment of the year from the Stone Cold podcast?
Probably. It's Stone Cold. If you guys need to listen to a podcast, listen to Stone Cold and Scott Hall's podcast. Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast.
The most recent one.
The most recent one. It is fucking fantastic. It is just amazing. Anyways, we got a big award. We got a big award, a big category to kick it off with.
Uh-huh.
And it's our match of the year.
Correct. And we haven't really discussed who is going to win each of these categories. So I think that's going to be like the body of the show, is us discussing and coming to a consensus on what our favorites are.
Right, exactly. So we have nominees for each one.
And all right, match of the year. I feel like we need music. Okay, sure. Nominees: John Cena versus Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble 2015.
I don't remember much from this. This is like
it was great.
This is a while ago.
It's the one where they did the spot where Rollins did the top rope elbow onto Lesnar while he was on the announce table.
Oh, okay.
That quote unquote broke Lesnar's rib.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah. No, it was really good. Second nominee. John Cena versus Kevin Owens, their first match at whatever pay-per-view that was.
When this went down, that was sort of that was sort of instantly me like, oh my god, this might be match of the year right here.
Yeah, the going in Raw after that pay-per-view,
because
title of it was match of the year.
As much as I would love to get more into the independent scene and like watch independent wrestling, I just haven't had there's not time for enough, or there's not enough time for all that stuff.
Yeah, there's not.
But I wasn't too familiar with Kevin Owens before he came in.
We knew the name, but we weren't that familiar with his work.
But, you know, and then all he did during his time in NXT was powerbomb a lot of people onto like the apron.
Mm-hmm.
This match showed off what Owens can do, and it was just
it's incredible.
Incredible. And then the fact that he beat Cena cleanly was absolutely amazing. I mean, that was just fucking stunning.
Yep.
So that was a fucking grade A match. Like, again, Cena can bring it when Cena needs to bring it, wants to bring it, is motivated to bring it. I don't know. When he's inspired, I guess. I don't know.
Nominee number three, Sasha Banks versus Bayley. Was that NXT TakeOver Brooklyn? Is that when this match was?
Brooklyn was the second one, I think.
Okay, so the one before that.
Yeah, Brooklyn was the second one. They were both fantastic matches.
Yes.
The first one, I think we both kind of agree, is the superior one.
Yeah, in terms of I mean, not to say there wasn't quality.
Oh, because the Brooklyn one was the Iron Man match.
Yeah,
yeah.
The one that made the show.
Right.
Yeah, I thought the first one, the storytelling in the first match was fucking phenomenal.
Right. Yeah.
Not to say the storytelling in the second match wasn't quality as well, but the storytelling in the first one was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that, in my opinion, that's what separates the two.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I love this match. This is great.
Nominee number four.
Yep.
The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, Hell in a Cell.
This was arguably their best match.
I don't think it's arguably. I think of the three they or the ones they had, this was the best one.
There you go. This
I think this is the one that we all wanted to see at WrestleMania 30.
The thing about the streak was Undertaker was concussed like 10 seconds into it.
Yeah.
And so you got a crap match, but a shocking ending. And so that, in terms of moments, that was like the biggest moment in wrestling in like a long time.
Yeah.
But the match itself was crap.
Yeah, it really was.
The second one, which is at SummerSlam this year, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was okay, but the finish was kind of sloppy.
It was a decent match, but the finish was kind of bullshit. I really take umbrage with that finish because I don't like, you know, you've got the streak, you've got the Undertaker, he's this bigger than life guy, and then he's kicking people. I don't even necessarily mind he's kicking people in the balls. I think the bigger problem for me was the tap out.
It kind of seemed unnecessary. I mean, it's as it was, the victory should have been contested just because
it was just weird to all of a sudden have the Undertaker be acting like a cowardly heel.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that it was off putting. It was weird. I didn't like it. This match was brutal.
It was physical.
It was fucking fantastic.
There was a lot of blood.
So much blood. And you could really tell, I think it was at this point that you could really tell these guys were really looking to put on something really inspired.
Mm-hmm.
I think they understood it was their last go around, and they just probably
they
got
went, they
and said,
just wanted just, to leave it all out there.
Let's just fuck each other up.
Yep.
And it was, you know, and still you had really good storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Some great spots.
Some great spots, but not like... None of those spots where it was like over the top, like, oh my God, you know, this is cringeworthy. Because sometimes I cringe these days on the big, big spots. It's like,
yeah.
You know, we've said this before, we know too much about what happens to a body, you know, and how fucked up it could be. Like back in the ECW days, we didn't know that much, or if we did, nobody really cared. And so these days, you know, it's just... You don't want people to get fucked up. You want these entertainers to keep on entertaining and be healthy and have a long life.
This match really walked the line of, are these guys really fucking themselves up, or are they just having a good physical match?
Yeah, yeah. That was a really, really good match.
And our fifth and final nominee, the most recent match on the list, I put on here mostly for you.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns versus Sheamus, the Raw, December 14th, 2015, just because it was a moment. A huge moment.
Yeah, but you know what? It was a good match anyways. I mean, if it was on the mid-card somewhere else and they were doing this over the Intercontinental belt.
Oh, it wouldn't be on here.
It wouldn't be on here. But moments matter.
They do.
And combined with the fact that it was a Raw title change, Roman Reigns, he was hot, it was a Philly crowd, they put on a good show, Vince was involved. The storytelling was there. You know, I think this definitely deserves to be on here. In fact, I mean, you know, even looking at Roman Reigns, I'm thinking that, you know, on sort of a runner-up to these would be him versus Lesnar when Rollins cashed in.
Yeah, at WrestleMania.
Kind of around the same thing, you know. It's like they're putting on a decent physical match with a decent story where Reigns wasn't giving up and... They were telling his story, and then Seth Rollins hits and ruins it all. And that was a good story. That was a decent match. It was, you know.
No, that, I almost put that on there.
Yeah.
It was very close to being included.
Just looking at these right now, I mean, they're all cool. I'll be honest, the first one I really don't remember much of.
You should go back and watch it then, because it was really good.
Okay. Cena, Owens, Banks, Bailey, those were always sort of my top two.
Mm-hmm.
Taker, Brock is up there, but I think I'll be honest, the biggest mark out sort of match for me was Cena, Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to see all the moves that Owens pulled out. Him and Cena did it flawlessly executed match.
Yeah.
And the fact that Owens went over clean is a big deal these days, and that in itself is a moment, and it really established Kevin Owens as you know, it put
a
him
player,
way up there,
yeah,
as a player,
yeah,
exactly, yeah, on the scene.
Yeah, so, for me, it's down to Cena, Owens, and Banks, Bailey. Those are the two finalists, I would say, and I wouldn't argue with you if you said Cena, Owens.
Yeah,
I wouldn't argue with that.
I'll say that's going to be my
all right match of the year: John Cena versus Kevin Owens at that pay-per-view. What's the one before Money in the Bank? I think that's when it was.
Oh, fuck, man. I don't know. I know it wasn't Fastlane because that was garbage.
Whatever. People can look that up.
Yeah, I don't know. When we get back to Fuck Wrestling, can our pay-per-view be called That Pay-Per-View?
That Pay-Per-View? Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That'll be it, like, in our house. Or in your house, sorry. Just be That Pay-Per-View, and then we'll come up with another name for it.
Like, you called in your house. You called it In Our House.
In Our House.
In Our House.
That'd be the alternate. That Pay-Per-View, yeah, exactly. In Our House.
In Our House.
Next category. Special Guest of the Year.
I think,
you know, every once in a while, they got the celebrity types that come and do the wrestling.
They've been a bit more savvy with this. This year was a good year. This was a high year, a high watermark year.
It was.
For celebs.
Let's go down the list.
All right.
First nominee, Jon Stewart.
The former Daily Show host, not the Green Lantern.
Yeah. Second nominee.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey.
Oof, love her. Mm.
Third nominee, Stephen Amell.
Very good-looking man. Handsome Green Arrow man.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Here's the thing with all this. Ronda's great, and she was used in a really, really good but really long spot in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
My only sort of bugaboo with her is that she might have used a couple more reps of practice with Stephanie in their little spot.
Yeah, that was a little awkward.
A little awkward, but she was really good. She might have, I think, you know, she's used to being to whooping ass, or recently getting her ass whooped. And so, you know, her mic skills aren't really, you know, up to where they should be.
What you're saying is she needs to spend a couple months in NXT.
She does. I think she'd do really good.
I think she would too. She'd be great.
Yeah. Stephen Amell.
He had one good spot where he jumped off the turnbuckle.
He really put himself out there.
He did.
He gave it his all. He was out there. He was, I don't know if he cut a promo, but I know he did like a backstage thing with Triple H and some of the guys where he was very convincing as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some good spots. He executed some decent moves. I believed him. I was like, my only problem, and I think probably Foley, I don't know, some fucking Captain Buzzkill. My only problem when these guys come in this capacity, and it's very rare, obviously, but you're an actor coming in competing with the big boys, and he held his own, which kind of philosophically bugs me because he's an actor and he shouldn't be holding his own because they're supposed to be a bunch of badasses.
Yeah, I see that.
So that kind of, but you know what? It's a show. They put on a show, and he did, for what he did very, very well.
He
I
did.
Was very impressed with him.
In terms of celebrities who've actually wrestled in matches.
Oh, up
top five.
Absolutely. Top three.
Easily. Yeah. Probably. I
mean, who else is there? Obviously, LT.
Yeah, there's Lawrence Taylor. And
LT was okay too.
Yeah, he was fine.
He was decent.
I think Refrigerator Perry was in a.
I can't believe he was very good though.
Battle Royale or something. I'm pretty sure. There's been some others.
Yeah. But to me,
Jon Stewart had the most impact because
far and
he cost
away.
John Cena the U.S. title.
Far and away, the most entertaining, the most impactful. The most surprising,
yes,
celebrity of the year was Jon Stewart. He's my number one. He did the swerve on Cena, came out the next night on Raw and ate an attitude adjustment just to perfection. And I love that he went straight basically from the Daily Show, and the next appearance he made was in the
WWE. Raw, I know. And the segments he did with Seth Rollins on The Daily Show were good, too.
Oh, were fantastic. The entire build-up was great. And I love it because it's so weird. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when DDP and Karl Malone were on Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And Hogan and Bischoff took over for Leno, like kicked Leno off his set, and then he brought out DDP. I forget exactly how that happened, but it's weird because you understand, as a wrestling fan, we're sort of in this... very large, but almost an underground club.
Yeah.
So wrestling fans, it was a weird underground club. But then to understand that, and then to think that, like, The Daily Show, which goes out to millions of people who have no fucking clue and don't care a lick about wrestling.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, with Leno and The Tonight Show, which was even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's, it's so weird to think that they're injecting that, and tons of people who watch have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
I love that. It's weird. And then Jon Stewart did it, like, with full fucking passion.
Gusto, yeah. He would put his all
exactly,
into it.
Yeah. So, to me...
No, Jon Stewart wins easily.
He's my easily. Easy number one.
Yeah. Jon Stewart wins, special guest of the year. Next category, comeback of the year. And I usually, when it, like in sports, comeback of the year is usually a player who was hurt mm-hmm. the previous season, came back, and performed up to his usual standards.
Right.
This year is just people who returned. I can only really think of three potentially worthy nominees. First, obviously, The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
He came back to start what seems to be his last run.
Yeah.
Has more or less performed admirably in pretty much all capacities.
Absolutely.
Number two, uh-huh. Demon Kane.
Demon Kane. We've been blessed with Corporate Kane.
I know we
Kane
are
a
couple
while.
Of the people who actually enjoyed Corporate Kane.
Oh,
I think
quite
a lot
bit,
of people
yeah.
disliked Corporate Kane, but we love Corporate Kane. But when the Demon Kane came back, the angle they did with the kind of split personality Kane
I
was,
love that.
Was fun. Yeah,
it was. It was a lot of fun, exactly. And then so Seth Demon Rollins Kane, had to deal with him. I mean, that was,
yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the joys of Seth Rollins' title reign, is that it just always seemed to be Seth Rollins having to deal with stuff.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like a more annoying thing that he had to exactly, deal with as opposed yeah. to real threats.
Like, it was great. Like, the epitome of that is when Kane comes out from under the ring, drags Seth Rollins down to hell, and next week, Kane, you came out and you dragged me down to hell. Why'd you
yeah.
do that?
Yeah.
like there was no lasting reason. You think that'd be a psychologically, spiritually
no,
tormenting thing?
It was just a mild annoyance.
That's fucking great. Like, especially in retrospect, now that we talk about it, it's fucking great. Kane, why'd you do that, Kane?
I know.
God, that sucked. That was annoying, Kane. And take a shower afterwards.
And then lastly, Sheamus, because he's like the most prominent guy this year that returned from injury that I could think of.
Like, Sheamus, because he did come back and he did give the belt to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I would have to say, like, far and away, it'd be The Undertaker. And
yeah, you can't really argue with that.
Because, I mean, you know, not only, you know, we've been used to the last couple of years him showing up maybe on the Raw before WrestleMania, and then he shows up at WrestleMania. You know, the dude did a tour of, like, what, Mexico or something?
Mm-hmm.
He came back in a not unsubstantial way.
The last half of this year, he's been pretty busy.
He's been all over the place, man. He showed up on Superstars. He showed up on NXT. Showed up on Raw, Telemundo. I don't know what they are.
I don't think any of that's true.
Probably not. But he did. He was around quite a bit, and it was pretty awesome. I really hope that sort of, I don't know, maybe after this next WrestleMania, which I would think would be his last one,
mm-hmm.
I want him on the Stone Cold podcast.
Yeah.
I want him to break character. I want him to give, because he could give a killer interview. And it makes me wonder if he'd do that. Given like what's been happening with him over the past couple of years, it seems to reason that, you know, in the words of Scott Hall, he's not a mark for the business, you
yeah.
know? Like, I think
yeah.
he's very protective of his character, but at the same time, you know, I think when he's done with it, I don't think he's going to be married to it still.
Yeah, well, even throughout his career, he's always been a professional.
Right, exactly.
He wants to protect his character, but that doesn't mean he's...
He's weird against, about it, yeah.
Yeah, he's against losing.
Right, exactly.
He'll put other people over.
Yeah, and in that respect, you know, I'd love to think that he'd drop his character a little bit just to, you know, to shoot the shit with Austin. I think that they can have a really killer conversation.
Oh, yeah. I hope they finally do the full-on documentary on The Undertaker after
yeah.
he retires, too.
Yeah.
Because that could be great. So, Undertaker, comeback of the year.
Absolutely.
Next category. I guess it should be special event of the year, since they don't really call them pay-per-views anymore, do they?
I'm going to call them pay-per-views until
yeah,
the
me
day
too.
Of day.
First nominee. Yes. We were there for this one. WrestleMania 31.
Yeah. Off the bat, I mean, to be honest, like, we'll go down the rest of them, but this is my number one pick. There was just too much going on. And,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is sort of a personal thing, but, like, being there, it's funny because, like, being there is, like, a huge stadium. We had decent tickets. We had decent seats.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ring was still pretty far away, but for whatever reason, I remember marking out like I was seeing it, you know, like I
we
was
were sitting ringside, yeah.
Like, it really, yeah. it the way they present it is very conducive to being an amazing fan experience.
And it's hard not to be overwhelmed by the spectacle of it all when you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, maybe if you're in the upper deck, maybe not. But just being watching a wrestling event with that many people,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of effort they put into putting that show on, it's hard not to get caught up in it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Next, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
Great show. Yep. Punctuated by Sasha Banks versus Bayley. And it was, you know, this is one of those shows they did it in front of, I think, 17,000 people or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because usually they're at the, you know, little university they do it at. And it's a smaller, obviously a much smaller venue. This show that the NXT sort of fever is real. Because that crowd was hot the entire time.
Yep.
So it was a good show.
And it was a great card.
Yeah, it really was.
Next, SummerSlam 2015.
Yeah, good show. This had Brock versus
Taker.
Brock versus Taker.
It had
Taker.
Cena Rollins for the US belt.
Right, right. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was the winner take all thing, huh?
Yeah.
Good
show all around.
Yeah, Reigns and Ambrose against the Wyatt family. Just looking this is when Stephen Amell came out, right. And then the new Day won the tag team match.
Yeah, and I guess if the goal of SummerSlam is to make it the summertime WrestleMania,
it definitely was.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And then I put TLC on there just because it was a good, solid all around show.
Yeah, it really was. It was a good show. I'm gonna go with WrestleMania 31. When I first saw this, I was like, I wonder which one. And then I just thought about WrestleMania 31. I was like, okay, you know, not only did it have that amazing finish, but I, you know what, dude, it was cheesy as hell, but that Monday Night Wars match,
yeah,
was fun as fuck.
It was.
It was Markout City to watch DX finally fight at the NWO.
Yeah,
that was fucking fantastic. I loved every second. And yeah, it was. Dude. It's one of those things where it's like you have the stuff that we love about wrestling in terms of the drama. You also mm-hmm. have the unintentionally hilarious stuff, which to me is all part of the package.
Yes, absolutely.
You have Triple H coming out in his fucking idiot Terminator gear.
You had Rusev coming out on a tank.
On a tank!
With an awesome starter jacket.
You had Big Show winning the entree of the Giant Battle Royal.
And standing next to the trophy with his arms crossed.
Which he should do every year.
Yeah, he should still bring the trophy out with him, I think.
I agree.
Every time he comes to the ring, he should have the trophy there.
I know, I agree. It was a fun match. Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it was a fucking blast. It was
I'll go with WrestleMania 31.
And I was completely turned around because for the longest time I wasn't going
to
do it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it took some convincing on my part to get you to go.
I like this next one. I like your third entry here.
Well, We really need to add.
I mean, what about Stone Cold podcast?
Did that debut this year?
Oh, debut? Oh.
Well, I guess it doesn't have to. Never mind. Keep it on then.
This category is the network show of the year.
Yeah. Did put Monday Night Wars on there, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, no. What you had on there was fine.
Okay.
This is the thing about the Stone Cold podcast. I love the Stone Cold podcast, but they didn't have the Scott Hall one on the network, so...
That's true.
That's the only episode I need. Network show of the year. Now, we're big fans of the WWE Network. Like, honestly, I could just have that and be fine with my TV.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they have done a really, really good job programming a variety of shows that appeal to, you know, all sorts of things. Right now, like, they just put up, like, a shit ton of old NWA, old Global Force Wrestling. No, wait, that might be the
No, that's Jeff Jarrett's thing.
Global Wrestling Federation. And a bunch of other stuff, like just across like Mid-South, just a bunch of stuff,
yeah,
of old stuff. And I love all that stuff because it's like old. But then they have new stuff. They have Breaking Ground, which is the NXT documentary show,
which is great.
Table for Three, which when you have the right guess is great. I like that you put this on here, Unfiltered with Renee Young.
I've seen a couple episodes. They were bad.
It's good. No, it's actually a good show. I've only seen the Seth Rollins one, and I was like, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
To me, far and away, it's Breaking Ground.
Yes.
It is really, really well produced.
It is. They got William Shatner to voice it.
Yeah. And it is the one remaining barrier between sort of fan and product that I feel, and I think I've expressed this before, is the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one thing that it'll be really interesting to see if that process ever really comes to light. Given, I think mainly given that, you know, on one end, there are probably plenty of people who still want to protect the business and protect the show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you've seen this, the falling down, the breaking of kayfabe, you know, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got things like, we mentioned this before, Xavier Woods' YouTube channel, Up, Up, Down, Down.
Yeah.
Where he goes by a different name, which is more commensurate with his own name.
And then even on Total Divas, which, you know, it's a reality show in mm-hmm. theory, maybe not in practice, but even on there, you know, Brie doesn't refer to Daniel Bryan as Daniel Bryan.
Right, right, right.
She calls him by his real name.
Right, exactly. And so breaking ground is sort of like just another step towards this sort of full transparency of the creative process.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, will we ever say, I think there's a lot of politicking in wrestling. There always has been.
And I don't think we'll ever have a show that takes place inside the actual booking room.
Right. No, not at all. But, you know, whenever a script leaks on Reddit, it's always interesting because it's like, ooh, the script came out. And there's never anything that's anything is ever scandalous. It's just, it's like, oh, this is interesting. This is mm-hmm. their beat by beat breakdown.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff is interesting for real nerds like us. But breaking ground is fascinating in the level of access that we have to developmental. It's really interesting. And
yeah, it's great.
By far is like my favorite show of the network.
Yeah, definitely. Agreed. Breaking ground. You're a winner.
You're a winner.
Next up, feud of the year.
Ooh.
First nominee, yeah. Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Yes.
Put on two of the best matches of the year, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Great feud.
Yeah, amazing feud. And look at, I think it's done wonders, especially for Bayley, mm-hmm. who's like arguably the top star of NXT right now.
I wouldn't even say arguably, I'd say she is.
Yeah. And then Sasha Banks, she's really picking up steam on the main roster. So mm-hmm.
Hopefully building something up for WrestleMania 32.
We'll see. We shall see.
Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar.
Undertaker. Yeah, they had their blow-off match after years of you know, feuding off and on.
Yep.
And this probably is sort of one of the big, I mean, I'll be honest with you, is one of the biggest rivalries of all time. You know, Brock is the guy who fucking broke the Undertaker streak. And
the Undertaker never beat him clean.
Yeah. So this was big time. This is big time.
Yeah. Probably the most exciting feud of the summer, John Cena versus Kevin Owens.
There's a lot of passion behind this feud.
Yes.
Owens really found a good opponent that he sort of was diametrically opposed in terms of like their personalities. Like mm-hmm. They're so 180 from each other.
Yeah.
That they really fed off each other really, really well, put on some really, really good matches.
Amazing matches.
Would have liked to have seen a bit more give from Cena besides just that first match.
Yeah.
That's my only probably complaint about this.
It would have been nice to see Owens go over at the end.
Exactly.
I guess we knew it wasn't going to happen, but yeah. It would have been nice. And then finally, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
It'd be interesting to see how this all would have played out had Sami Zayn not been injured.
Yes.
Because I feel like there was a lot more to be said here.
And I'm curious if they're going to pick up this feud once Zayn is healthy and maybe spends a little more time in NXT.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously they're gonna pick it back up at some point, but are they gonna pick it back up where it left off? I don't know. I would tend to think no. But if they want to give Sami Zayn a huge splash, then yeah, I mean, Owens is the man right now. So,
yep.
In terms of my number one, I would probably say Taker Brock, just because this is, like I said earlier, this is like one of the biggest of all time, and I think that. Granted, like the level of match quality maybe wasn't there except for the last one. It always felt big.
Yeah, though there always felt like there were stakes. I agree with that. I'm just looking at it in terms of pure entertainment.
Yeah,
not just in terms of matches, but in terms of what do they call it? The Gaga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that who's referred to? Scott Hall? Is that what we called this? No, that was
Was that DDP?
No, it was Raven. The little moments in between the matches, or in between the moves.
Yeah.
The character work during matches.
And Bayley.
And then the promos.
Yeah.
For me, feud of the year, Cena Owens.
Oh, okay. All right. There you go. All right. Yeah. I think that's... I'll go. I have no argument with that. I'll go with Cena Owens, too, then. There's your
Okay. Way. Cena Owens, feud of the year.
Yeah. I just... It, you know, a little bit more... a little more give on Cena's. I mean, I guess the same could be said for Taker Brock. You know, it wasn't booked perfectly.
Yeah, Brock, it was pretty one-sided.
Yeah. No, Cena is just good, though. It's good.
Yeah. All right, Tag Team of the Year. This is going to be a pretty easy category to determine a winner. Yep. Your nominees, The New Day.
The New Day rocks.
They do. Still the most entertaining wrestlers on the main roster right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enzo and Cass. I don't know how much they actually wrestled this year because they are out for a bit, but they are the most over tag team in NXT.
Oh, for sure.
And they're highly entertaining.
Yes.
Primetime players.
Yeah.
Perhaps the most underutilized tag team.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
Lucha Dragons. Performance on TLC put them on here because they weren't. And then Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. They were great while they were tag team.
They were really good. Cesaro seemingly can work with anybody as a tag, as an opponent, in any respect at all.
Yeah.
And everybody looks better.
But it's just the pairing of these two. Like Tyson Kidd's, I think his one of the things that never really got him over was kind of a lack of personality.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, pairing these two guys together, it really, I think it brought the personality out in both of them.
It enhanced both of them. I agree totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Natalya was a good sort of manager valet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. But the victor, the winner of this category is easy. It's the New Day.
Oh, it's absolutely the New Day. I mean, the breakout tag team of like the past freaking 10 years, the New Day. They're fantastic. The WWE knows this. They're relying on them every week to anchor, you know, large chunks.
Well, there was
of the show.
What, 3-4 weeks in a row, they would either open the show, close the show, or both.
Yeah.
And it was great.
I'm really interested. Let me ask you this. Like, Enzo and Cass have kind of, they're interesting because if they ever came up and feuded with the New Day, they have that sort of serious intensity, even though they're entertaining by virtue of who they are, not necessarily what they do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, I do.
When Enzo does
his
dance, that's him being him. When he says, you can't teach that, that's just him being him. They're not tongue-in-cheek. And that usually makes, like, for example, the Dudley Boys, when they had a feud against New Day, just fizzled out because the Dudley Boys can't really do much with a comedy act.
Yeah.
And so, as much as
let me go back. So I think the Dudley Boys can, when they're booked as a nostalgia act, I don't think they can.
Yeah.
I think they have the ability to do it.
I think they have the ability to do it. How they're booked, they were unable to, though.
Yes.
So it would be interesting because I really want to see Enzo and Cass up on main. I'm just wondering like how they would have to change what they do to really fit in, against like a team like the New Day. How could they compete and make things entertaining?
Yeah.
I think Enzo's wordplay would be enough to get them through.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
Cause he's one of the cleverest dudes on the roster, I think.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Well, there would be some outstanding promos going back and forth in that feud.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. So.
Yes. All right, New Day winner.
Oh, by far.
Yeah, easily. Next category: favorite moment of the year. No nominees. Just tell me what your favorite moment of the year is.
My favorite moment of the year is one of two things, both of which happened in WrestleMania 31, and one of them is when.
Was it when you went during the main event to go buy merchandise?
Exactly. You know what? It wasn't during the main event. It was when the penultimate match ended, and I knew the main event was coming up. I left. It was just a really long walk around the concourse, and there were so many video packages that I only missed about the first 5 minutes of the main event. I think.
It was some of the main event.
The actual like fighting in the main event. I missed like 5 or 10 minutes of Brock Lesnar beating up on Roman Reigns. My favorite moment of the year is probably going to be Seth Rollins' music hitting and then him winning the fucking title.
Yeah.
We were all just losing our fucking minds there at Levi Stadium.
Yes.
Just losing our fucking minds. So yeah, I mean that's for me that was it.
That would probably be mine too. Probably a close runner-up would be at the end of Sasha Bailey won after the match ended, and then Charlotte and Becky Lynch came out.
Yeah,
and the four of them had this really great moment in the ring, and it was really emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard not to get caught up in it.
Absolutely.
I got a little teary-eyed, I'll admit.
Are sort of my sub-category of this would be like Favorite Ridiculous Moment of the Year. And you sort of have him here in the listings for Wrestler of the Year, but I'm going to go with Joey Ryan's viral video of his dick strength contest. His dick flipping the guy over.
You can't really top that.
Yeah, you can't really top that. That was pretty fantastic. He's going to be doing that move for a long time. And then, of course, we got our Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah.
I don't like this line. You just typed out a last final category.
Well, let's get to it after we do this one.
All right. Our penultimate category.
Yeah, I just added
Wrestler of the Year. Our nominees are...
Sasha Banks. Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Bayley.
Yes.
Cesaro.
Yes.
And Joey Ryan.
Is it just Joey Ryan or Joey Ryan's penis?
Well, since his penis is a part of him, we'll just say Joey Ryan.
Okay.
Let's lay out a case for each nominee. Okay. Why they should be Wrestler of the Year.
All right.
Sasha Banks put on two of the best matches of the year with Bayley.
Made a huge impact on Raw when the Divas Revolution was kicked off.
Main evented NXT special event pay-per-view. Also with Bayley.
Yes.
And still to this day, even when she's non-Raw, if she comes out for any team bad stuff or just during any random Divas match, if the crowd is entertained, what do they chant?
Mm-hmm. We want Sasha. Yes.
So I think she's primed for a breakout on Main 2016. She's going to rule the Divas division. But it was all set up by what she accomplished this year.
Yes.
And that is why she received a nomination for Wrestler of the Year. Steve, you take Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. What can you say about Seth Rollins? He won the belt at WrestleMania via his Money in the Bank cash in. He went from one of the guys who was just known as sort of the athletic member of the Shield to being the best all-around wrestler, I think, in the business. His mic skills are up there. They've reached, I think, elite status. He can cut a promo with the best of them. The conviction in his character is fully there. I thought he ran with the ball. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, his in-ring ability, his ability to tell a story, the moves that he pulls off were just, you know, again, an elite category. Like, he's up there with guys like Cesaro, you know, Daniel Bryan before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, Seth Rollins was sort of the man. He was the guy they put out there in front, and he completely killed it, in my opinion.
Agreed. Kevin Owens. As far as I know, he has had the shortest stay of any NXT talent before making the leap to Main.
Right.
Because he was only NXT for a few months.
Yeah, yeah.
If I remember correctly. And I think that speaks to his ability, not just in the ring, but on the mic.
Yeah.
Even at the commentary table, which in NXT he was fantastic.
Nobody can be as entertaining being bored as Kevin Owens.
Like, yes.
Even when his character is bored, he's entertaining.
Yes. Yeah. And he brings something a little different to the main roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does, totally. Yeah.
His kind of, I hesitate to use a word or a phrase, laid back, but that's kind of what it is. He's not really in your face in terms of his promos.
Correct.
You know, a lot of guys, they get in the mic and they start screaming or getting, you know, gruff in the voice. He just speaks his normal speaking voice.
Absolutely.
And it's great. It's different. And he's fantastic in the ring. His level of athleticism, you wouldn't expect from a guy of his size.
Very odd.
It's very impressive.
Big old roly-poly Pelly. Mr. Fat is our nominee for Wrestler of the Year.
But he does things that most of the wrestlers on the roster can't do.
I know. It's crazy. And on a pair of bum knees, apparently.
Yep.
It's insane.
All right, you take Bayley.
Bayley, I still...
She's the top dog in NXT. She's the star in NXT right now.
She is the star in NXT, and she's going to be huge when she goes to Maine. I don't know if it was because of her injury. I don't know if she would have been at Maine already had she not been injured, but I kind of feel like it was fortuitous that she wasn't, because she's proven that she can carry an entire roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the crowd goes nuts for her when she comes out. and she's, her character seems, the way she portrays her character, completely sincere. You buy into it. You want her to win. Her angle, her gimmick should be cheesy and corny, but it's endearing and not non-ironic. It's And she's just a fantastic wrestler. Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, right now, you know, Finn Balor's your men's champion, your NXT men's champion, but really the person I tune in to see really is Bayley.
Yeah, she's the top star.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easily. Cesaro, what can't this guy do in the ring? He's probably he's the best worker in WWE right now.
Absolutely. He's definitely the strongest, pound for pound.
Pound for pound the strongest. He can work with anybody, get a good match out of anybody.
He got a good match out of Roman Reigns.
Yeah. A very good one.
And it was obvious from like a minute in that they were there. He was there specifically to put on a good match with Roman Reigns.
Yes.
And he accomplished that.
And I think he made enormous strides forging a connection with the audience too.
Absolutely.
It was this year,
I believe,
that we saw the birth of the Cesaro section.
Yeah, and you don't need to be slick on the mic to connect with people.
Nope.
And his mic skills are only going to improve, I think.
Yep.
Like you said, he just needs to find his voice.
Yeah, he just needs to find the vision of his character. That's all he really needs, I think.
Yeah. Right.
All
right,
you take Joey Ryan or his dingus, whatever you want to.
Joey Ryan,
about.
the viral wrestler of the year.
Probably nobody in wrestling put the sport in the mainstream more than he did. Everybody covered that video.
At least nobody put wrestling sort of in the Twitter sphere, you know, in our weird circle of I don't know what you want to call it, but of popularity of pop culture, whatever you want to call it. Him and his dick did a lot for wrestling this year.
Yes.
I'm going to give it to Seth Rollins though.
Yeah, absolutely.
He took the big belt, which was on Brock Lesnar, and he ran with it. I would have liked to have seen him booked a little bit differently, to be honest with you.
A little bit stronger.
But everything that they did with him was outstanding.
And everything he was given, he did to his fullest.
Hey, you know, you forgot with the comeback wrestler of the year. You forgot Alberto!
Oh, that's right.
Del Rio! I can't roll my R's, Chanchito.
Sorry, Alberto. Yeah, he should have been nominated. He wouldn't have won, but he should have been nominated. You're right.
He would have been. Yeah, he's a bigger comeback than Sheamus.
Yeah, I agree.
He looks like a stud now.
He does.
He's like a stud. He's Chanchito.
Are you a fan of his again?
Who knows? Yeah, probably.
You go back and forth on Del Rio.
I'll download his ringtone.
Theme song again.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more category.
Uno más.
One more.
The Kayfabe Corner Champion in 2015. Now, is there any statistical data to back this up?
I know I have two...
Point tallies?
Two rounds of 11 each, and that's more than you have. I have the two best scores of the year, and I have a 10, too. So I have the three top scores, because your highest was a 9, right?
Oh, I had a 10.
Okay. So I have three of the four... top scorers of the year, so I think I'm Kayfabe Quarter Champion.
Well,
I'm going to write that down, Larson.
Bully for you.
Well, we don't have a Kayfabe Quarter segment this week, so I thought we had to have something
about Kayfabe Quarter related.
Yeah, so I dubbed myself the champion of 2015. I make it a belt to wear until I am.
I hope you do. You should. You really should.
Dethroned as champion.
Well, is this going to be a yearly thing, or can we pass it off weekly? Or
maybe
what?
We should keep tally of not just high score, but total score throughout the year in 2016.
And see who has the most points.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on that, Mr. Numbers.
Okay, I'll do that. 2016, I'll create a spreadsheet.
You're just bitter that you lost out in Friendo Fantasy Football yesterday, and I'm moving on to the finals.
Well, I mean, there's one more game. You can still lose.
I probably will too.
You can still lose.
My matchups are not favorable.
No, you got some tough matchups.
I got some tough matchups.
Well, I mean, like, my downfall was my running backs, because all year I was struggling to get consistent production from my running backs, and of course that reared its head this week.
No, man, you know what? Your downfall, there was nothing you could have done against this week against who'd you have? Kelleher?
Yeah.
He put up massive
huge numbers.
Points.
I know.
Like, I looked at your bench and I'm like, yeah, you could have had in, I mean, you know, Stafford might go for 40, but Ben had 30, and that's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only difference maker I had on my bench was Cooper, who put up 24.
And he put 24. So if you add 24 plus the 29 Ben Roethlisberger put up, which is good for a quarterback, you still didn't have enough.
No.
That kid put up massive points. So
and he still has
he has a tight end, yeah.
So I'm only 60 points down. You know, stranger things have happened.
I don't think so. I don't think stranger things have happened. But you never know, I guess.
Yeah, you never know. I mean,
the Lord works in mysterious ways. You can use that one.
Stafford to break the single game touchdown record, throw eight touchdowns. That's 48 points right there.
There you go.
And I'm sure that will come with 300 yards. So that's another be 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 60 points right there. That ties it up. And then I still have my kicker too. As long as my kicker out does Watson, I win.
None of that's gonna happen.
It makes perfect sense.
None of that
could all happen.
But you do get Kayfabe Corner champion.
Champion of the year.
So congratulations. I have to step up my game. I don't know. I choke under pressure. I don't know what to tell you.
You've had some good rounds. You've had some. You've asked or had some good themes.
I think I need to drink more.
Okay, you must start consuming alcohol, imbibing.
Let's do some shots before Kayfabe Corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think that'll make your poker face less easy to read?
Probably not. Probably make it even worse. We'll be like, oh, this one's fake.
Could be.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways. That's our going 2015 in RAW. Next week we're gonna do
we're gonna make our 2016 predictions.
Going in 2016.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
So think about that. I'm not telling our audience to think about that.
They can think about it as well.
I will. I already have.
And oh, by the way, Nawazardis Chowderbush.
I saw that.
Was very into the fact that his name is now Nawazardis Chowderbush.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are into it, man. They like it.
Okay.
All right, everybody, that's it for us. We'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.